There's a high fly ball.
From KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, good to be with you on a Friday night. You know, about an hour and a half ago, it was looking like this was just going to be a quiet Friday night. Looking ahead to the weekend preview, a couple of, you know, you got a hockey game Sunday night, the Blues. Got some college football tomorrow, both Illinois and Mizzou playing ranked teams. Mizzou playing the number one team in the country. And then around 4:30, we got news from the Blues that there was a bunch of changes, and they had some problems, injury-related and COVID-related, and they've had to do some shuffling. So I'm going to lay a little bit of that out for you here. A little later on, we may hear from Doug Armstrong on this, too, just have him lay it out for you a little bit in more detail. But, yeah, it's kind of an interesting shuffle, let's put it that way. Doug Armstrong did a Zoom conference today to kind of explain all of this, but it started with a press release that said that Torrey Krug was placed on the COVID list. So you're going to be without him, obviously, Sunday against the Ducks in Anaheim. And to balance the roster out, the Blues sent Dakota Joshua back to the AHL, and they called up Cali Rosen, a defenseman. Now, you might be saying, why wasn't that Scott Perunovich? I'll let you know what Doug Armstrong said about that in a second. And then the other part of it, which is also not good news, is that Braden Schenn was sent back to St. Louis for further evaluation of an upper body injury. So, you know, he didn't play very much last night and decided to send him back, have him get looked at, and they can reassess all of that when they come back from the trip. So, going into Sunday, you're not going to have Torrey Krug, which is obviously a little bit of a problem. Not going to have Braden Schenn. On the good side, you are going to get Ryan O'Reilly back, according to Doug Armstrong. He said that he was back. The quarantine period's over. He's with the team, skated. So all of that sounds really good. So it's kind of been that type of year, right, where you get one guy back and somebody else has to go out, and it's just been this weird kind of back and forth, and hopefully it'll settle down at some point in the not-too-distant future. But, you know, according to Doug Armstrong, you know, the guys aren't having bad symptoms or anything like that. Just, you know, you got to follow the protocols. So that's where they are. And Lord knows I know all about the protocols since I'm sitting at home and I haven't left my house in about 9 days. It's not a lot of fun. And obviously, by the way, if I cough uncontrollably, I apologize. Not much I can do about it at this point. But it's almost gone. It's almost gone. So you've got that good news, right? You got O'Reilly back. And that'll help with the loss of Schenn. But what's really frustrating, I think, for all of us that follow the team is it would look like you're just about to maybe get to full strength. Just about, you know, because Sundquist is close and we knew O'Reilly was getting close. Just about to get to where you thought maybe you can be close to 100%. Now, the good news is you're 7-1-1. You're playing well. You've got the depth to make up for guys moving in and out of the lineup. That's all great, and hopefully it just doesn't last too long. That's kind of the key point there. One other quick thing that Doug Armstrong talked about during all of this was Scott Perunovich, and said that he was not called up because of cap reasons. Basically, the way that his contract is, the bonuses caused conflicts with the way things are set up related to COVID players on the COVID list. Well, you don't get any cap relief when a player goes on the COVID list. So the Blues had to make the most cap-friendly move, and that's why you didn't see the top defensive prospect called up. And Perunovich has been playing well. We all know he's a part of the future of this team, but that's the reason why he didn't get called up. So that's the news, or at least the bulk of it, and we're going to run through that, plus some other early season fun stuff with our friend John Kelly, the Blues television play-by-play man. We'll catch up with JK when we come back here on KMOX. All right, you're back in on Sports Open Line here on KMOX on a Friday night. It's been an interesting couple of hours for the St. Louis. But it's actually been a hell of a opening to the season at 7-1-1. A lot of things looking good. The depth of the team has certainly been a massive benefit because, of course, you got people that are kind of coming and going these days with the COVID list and now some injuries and all of that. We had a bunch of things that that Doug Armstrong explained a little bit earlier, and we'll touch on a few of those things. And also just the other great stuff that's been going on with our good friend John Kelly. JK is the TV voice of the Blues, and JK, been a while, man. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for jumping on. How's everything going?
Doing great. How are you doing? Good to be with you.
You know, I'm all right. I mean, I'm in quarantine.
Okay. I hope you're all right.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if I laugh, I cough, but other than that, I'm doing all right. But, you know, it's just one of those – it's kind of like all these players. I really identify, JK, with, you know, with what Ryan O'Reilly's just coming through and what Ville Husso's dealing with. You know, I mean, you got the vaccine, you still get this thing, and you gotta follow the protocols, man. It's – I guess it's our world right now.
Well, yeah, it's obviously a world that is changing every day. And obviously I had, as you know, I had COVID back in March of 20. And, you know, I got the vaccine and now I'm waiting for a booster shot. And I just knock on wood that I don't get it again or anyone else that I know or, you know, anyone, you know, in my family, obviously. So, yeah, it's a moving target. And quite honestly, Kevin, I'm very surprised that this many players have come down with COVID, because every single player in the NHL, except for maybe Bertuzzi of Detroit, and he can't travel to Canada, has been vaccinated. So there's been so many breakthrough cases that it's a bit surprising to me. But I guess that's what we are, the hand we're dealt right now, and we've got to deal with it.
You know, yep, and it's funny. I mean, I can totally identify with this. You don't feel that bad. You know, I've joked with people in pre-COVID times, JK, I would never have missed a day of work based on how I've felt over the last week. You know, it's like having a – for me, it's been like having a cold. Again, you know, thank you to the people that made the vaccines. It made this a lot more mild than it could have been. But I think that, you know, you're right. It's surprising with these guys being, you know, as young as they are and healthy as they are. Now, the good news, I know Army said this today, that, you know, they're not having serious symptoms or anything like that, but you still got to get clear of the protocol, and that's leading to a lot of dancing for several teams, but in particular the Blues here lately.
Yeah, and I understand that the NBA is not testing their players, so it's a different philosophy perhaps, and that's obviously why all of these cases are being uncovered.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's obvious to everybody that, you know, if they have very mild symptoms or no symptoms, then these guys are tough. They could play, but the risk obviously is infecting others. So that's why they have the rules and you have to quarantine and you know, we know the rest. So it's a tough situation, because I think from the Blues perspective, obviously they've had such a great start at 7-1-1, as you said. Mm-hmm. And now this is, you know, it's the good news, I guess, for the Blues is they didn't have 5-1. You want to look at the bright side, right? You know, it seems like every 3 or 4 days, one guy's coming down with the symptoms and testing positive, and now they get O'Reilly back, you know. So I guess that's the positive, is it's not all at once, but knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't keep popping up like it has. That's obviously.
Yeah, you would hope that at some point it's just going to stop, right? I mean, only so many times you're going to test positive, I would think, before it's not going to be happening anymore. And, now, you know, today, in addition to all of this, JK, we find out that they need to do a little more testing on Braden Schenn. And, you know, it's too bad, because, you know, the last couple of days I've been talking about this point where we seem to be getting close to, you know, having everybody available, right? Sundquist is getting close. You mentioned O'Reilly. He's now back. We knew he was getting close. And now you've got the Schenn injury, and, you know, you've got Krug on the COVID list. I guess the good news is the depth that you've put together is carrying the day here early in the year.
Exactly, and that's why I think the Blues are a contending team, and I've liked their group from day one, and it's a big reason why they have a 7-1-1 record, because you look at some other teams, and they haven't fared as well. Teams that people thought would be great teams, and they might be great teams down the road. Right. I'm talking about Vegas and Colorado. Those teams have not done as well with a lot of players either injured in COVID protocol. And it's tough. It really is hard. And, you know, who knows how much longer the Blues can keep up this pace, you know, missing key people. So it is a testament to their depth. And, you know, thank goodness that O'Reilly has now recovered. And, you know, he skated today and he'll be back on Sunday. So it's a tough thing. But, you know, who knows, Kevin, when the Blues are going to have their full lineup. I mean, hopefully it happens sometime. But Sundquist is a player that hasn't played, of course. He's coming off ACL surgery and hip surgery, and, you know, he's skating with the team, he's on the trip and things like that. But I have no idea if he's going to play in 5 days or 50 days, quite honestly. So, you know, again, let's just knock on wood that someday the Blues can have their full complement and we'll see what this team is capable of.
You think we could cut a bargain, JK, with the hockey gods and make it right before the playoffs?
Yeah, we hope so, you know. And, you know, like San Jose, the opponent last night, Kevin, they had seven players in COVID protocol. Mm-hmm. And they had seven players Saturday against Winnipeg in protocol. And they came into the game last night with a 6-3 record, a team that many thought would be, you know, a bubble team, I think, in the West. Right. And, you know, they're off to a pretty good start. So it's all about, you know, sort of picking up the slack and not feeling sorry for yourself because no one will. But, you know, at the same time, the Blues, you know, you talk about their injuries and COVID and things like that, but they've caught some breaks. I mean, Colorado had a couple of key players, McKinnon and Landeskog didn't play in the first game. And then, you know, Vegas was missing Pacioretty and Stone when they played in Vegas. So, you know, it really works both ways. So you just have to take advantage of it and win as many games as you can.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that how San Jose had seven guys on the list. And Doug Armstrong mentioned today, JK, that, you know, they're getting close to the point where they might have to play short based on the COVID rules. If you lose a couple more people or you have any other injuries to go along with it, you don't have unlimited ability to replace those players. And they do have something to do with the cap, or you don't get a cap break when someone's on the COVID list.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a player that gets a knee injury and is gone for 2 or 3 months, you get relief. He goes on long-term IR, and that's not the case with these COVID situations. So, you know, I was a bit surprised when Doug said that today, because I think a lot of people felt that with Krug going down with COVID, that Perunovic would be the natural guy to call up because he had a great camp and he's doing well in Springfield. But Doug said they basically can't do it because of salary cap reasons. So that's really unfortunate for the player because he obviously is a former Hobie Baker winner. He's a top prospect. And now, because of basically a technicality, if you will, he can't get recalled to the NHL for the first time. So it's really unfortunate for the player.
No doubt about it. Speaking of that, by the way, speaking of guys making their debuts, how about a nice night for Joel Hofer last night? I mean, because of all this COVID stuff, he gets thrown into the mix, gets the start in San Jose, and gets the win in his first ever NHL start.
Yeah, you know, really good story. Again, here's a kid that probably thought he would spend the entire year in the American Hockey League. And, you know, lo and behold, Husso gets a shutout, and the next day he goes into COVID protocol. And next thing you know, Hofer's sitting on an NHL bench. And we knew this back-to-back situation Wednesday and Thursday would be really tough going from L.A. to San Jose. And it was tough because I thought Binnington was really tested in L.A. on Wednesday. He stopped 32 or 30, he let in a couple goals, obviously, on 35 shots.
Right.
And then the shootout, he looked to be a little tired in the shootout, Kevin. You know, he let in the 3 goals and the other one hit the post. So the Blues, I think, wisely gave him the night off last night. But Hofer battled. And, man, what a hard start for him, facing the power play and then the 5-on-3 and then the prolonged 5-on-4. And the Blues came out of that 1-1 because they got the shorthanded goal. So, you know, if he doesn't make some big saves early, that score could have been 2-1, 3-1, who knows what, and the game could have gone a different way. But he really battled hard, and that's something Berube told us in our meeting yesterday, that's the thing about him. He's got a lot of jam, as Berube said, and battles hard, and the players like him. And he showed that last night. I mean, he didn't play a perfect game. He let in 3 goals, but he battled hard. He kept his team in the game, and the Blues found a way to score the last 3 goals and win 5-3.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm happy for him. I like to see the guys in their debuts have some success. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect, but to have some success, to get the W, I'm sure, is all he cares about, because that means the main job, which is the team continues to play well, was done on your end of things as the goaltender. And I know the goalies, man, these guys, you know, even under normal circumstances, JK, they face such pressure because, you know, you're the last line of defense, and if anything else is going wrong, you're the only guy that can maybe make up for other mistakes, and you got that pressure on top of your NHL debut. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, a lot to deal with, and even though San Jose had a lot of players out of the lineup, that's still a really hard place to play, Kevin. It really is. It's a loud building, and it's an intense building, and they still have some top players, but I thought he battled hard and did a really good job. And you look at his resume, the kid won the World Junior Championship a couple of years ago for Canada. This year he's off to a great start, 3-0-1 in the American Hockey League. And remember, he only played in 10 games last year in the American League because that league didn't start until very late because of the COVID situation. And he was basically the third goalie for a good part of the season last year with the Blues. So, I mean, I remember a lot of times, Kevin, going to practice and watching Joel Hofert take shots, and Tarasenko, was rehabbing, coming back, and he'd face him a lot. And you sort of felt sorry for the kid. He wasn't going to get in a game, yet he was facing NHL shooters. But I think in hindsight, it was good for him because he was up here a good portion of last year. So he got to know the players and the trainers and the coaches and things like that. And he got to face real shooters. And I think that certainly has helped his development.
JK, how cool is it to see, you mentioned Tarasenko, how cool is it to see him at the top of the points list for the Blues so far this year? I mean, it's, you know, we knew that hit for him, for his purposes, whether it's to get dealt or, you know, who knows, maybe stick around. But we knew for anything he wants to happen, you know, his performance would have to be there. It's been pretty good. I've seen some, I know you have too, but I mean, I feel like we're seeing some flashes of the old 91.
I think that he has played some games this year that would rival almost any game he's played. He's almost back to where he was. And quite honestly, I'm a little bit surprised, not because I doubted his talent, Kevin, but because I just didn't know where he was really mentally more so than physically. He had the surgery now a year and a half ago or so and came back last year. And obviously, physically, I think he was fine, probably doubting his shoulder a little bit because that's natural when you have three surgeries on the same shoulder. You're going to obviously doubt it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But mentally, where was he after asking for a trade and things like that? But he came in, from what I understand, with a really good attitude and great shape. And from the opening game, I think he's been great. And, that line with Thomas and Barbashev has been superb. They were broken up last night in San Jose, but they have been really good together. So, I think the bottom line, Kevin, is that Tarasenko, coming into the season and training camp, if he plays well, he's benefiting everybody. He's benefiting himself. Mm-hmm. He's benefiting the St. Louis Blues, obviously. And if he truly still wants to be traded, and I don't know if he does, then he's helping that cause. So it's a win-win-win if he plays well, right? You know what I'm saying?
100%,
And obviously he's a professional. He's making a lot of money. He should play hard. He should play well. And he is, so good for him.
Yeah, it's great. You're right. I mean, there's nothing but upside with him playing well. If he happens to decide it's okay to stick around, well, you've got a premier goal scorer who's now healthy and you're getting him. And if he still wants to go, well, if he's playing like this, finding a valuable trade, one that can actually help your team, won't be as difficult as it would have been during the offseason.
Well, and that was proven in the offseason, right, Kevin? The Blues tried to trade him. They couldn't work out a deal. And they also exposed him to Seattle in the expansion draft, and they passed on him, and they picked Vince Dunn. So, maybe he was humbled a little bit by that situation. I don't know. But, again, if he plays well, then it's beneficial to all the parties, and he certainly has played well. I've never doubted his talent, Kevin.
Oh, no.
When he's healthy and he's motivated and going to the net and skating hard and using his size and shot, he is a very good hockey player. And I still think that there's, without question, he could score 30 goals or more. He's not 40 years old. He's, 30 or so. So he certainly has the ability and the talent, and really it was sort of up to him and what type of mindset he would come in with and how motivated he would be. And I think so far the results are very positive.
That's the, you made an interesting point there, JK. I didn't even think of it this way, but it feels like he's been around forever. It's because he has been. But, yeah, he doesn't turn 30 until December.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, it's funny that, I felt that way when Jaden Schwartz left during the offseason. I was like, wow, he was around that long, and you didn't, it was like kind of head scratching that it was that long amount of time that he was here, because he was a veteran as opposed to a young guy by the end of it. And here Vladdy is. I mean, he's not even 30 yet, but it feels like he's been around a decade because he has been.
Exactly, and if you watch him shoot the puck in practice or the warm ups or whatever, I mean, he still can bring it with the best of them. And at times in the last couple of years, he has become what I would consider a stagnant player. And part of it, obviously, Kevin, is because of his injuries and coming back and not, you know, having confidence maybe in his shoulder or whatever, and doubting that. But when he's standing still and not using his speed and not using his size and relying on his shot from the outside, he's just not a very effective player. It was proven last year when he scored 4 goals in 24 games. I mean, that's just not Vladdy. He's already scored 4 goals this year. So I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, at 30 years old, or we're, you know, close to 30, he's still, to me, in the prime of his career. And as I said, I think there's no question he could score at least 30 goals this year.
Yeah, he looks great. He looks great. John, let's close on one other guy, because we haven't seen much of him yet, but because he's another one that missed some time on the COVID list, but he's back now, and that's Brandon Saad. I mean, I think we know what to expect from him because he's a veteran who's been through it, who's won Stanley Cups and all that. But in the you know, 4 or 5 games that we've seen from him, I mean, it seems like you're getting the guy that was advertised.
I think it was a great addition. I really do. And here's a guy that, you know, number one, he's won cups, so he has that pedigree, two cups under his belt with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's played on really good teams most of his career. Last year played in Colorado. But he more than that, Kevin, he can do and help you in a lot of different areas, not just scoring goals. He can kill penalties. He had the shorthanded goal last night. He's got good size. He's got good speed. So he can play your power play, penalty kill, regular strength, and play on different lines. So I think it was a great addition by Doug Armstrong. And as soon as he made that signing, I thought it was a home run signing. And, the Blues, with guys like Saad and now Buchnevich coming over from the Rangers, they've just added to their depth up front. And I'm on record as saying, I said this a few weeks ago on another station, that I think the Blues forward group and their depth is better than the 2019 team. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I'm saying they're going to win the cup or whatever. I hope they win the cup. But I think right now on paper, I think they have a deeper group and a more talented group than they had a few years ago.
JK, it's always good catching up, my friend. And hopefully soon I'll get clear of all this nonsense. I'll get off the COVID list myself, and then I can come see you guys over at Enterprise Center, because I've been dying to get over there. But as soon as it was an opportunity, I'm like, well, got to shut her down. So right. When we get clear, we'll come on by and say hello at Enterprise Center. But in the meantime, enjoy the games, and we'll look forward to doing this again, man. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kevin, hope you're doing well, and hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. John Kelly, the TV play-by-play man for the St. Louis Blues. And tell you first of all, just what a great guy. And I'll tell you, I think some of the things, the couple of the names, by the way, you'll find him on Twitter at @JKellyHockey. I meant to mention that earlier. I hate when I forget to do that at the beginning, at @JKellyHockey. I thought what he mentioned there about Tarasenko is such a big point. And I know I've mentioned it a couple times too, so maybe that's confirmation bias on my part. But, you know, he is such a big part of what this season can be, not from whatever direction it happens to go. You know, if he's killing it and still wants to get traded, well, maybe you're still going to get like a comparable piece in return that can make your team better and settle down all the other nonsense. And if he's okay with sticking around, well, I mean, you got a guy that's producing, and that's exactly what you need if you're going to make a deep run into the postseason. All right, stick around. We got a little bit more on the Blues coming up in the rest of this hour. Next hour, we're going to talk a bit about the Missouri Tigers. They're taking on the number one team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs, tomorrow. We'll catch up with Howard Richards, who's down in Georgia getting ready for that game. I also want to talk to Howard about his former coach. Warren Powers passed away this week, so we'll definitely get some thoughts on Coach Powers from Howard Richards. That's coming up next hour. A little more hockey for you next here on KMOX. All right, more hockey for you here on KMOX. Blues off tonight and tomorrow. They'll take on Anaheim on Sunday. And we just talked about all of the Blues-related news, both in the beginning of the show and with John Kelly in the last segment. And I want you to hear from Doug Armstrong. Let him give you the word straight from the horse's mouth, if you will, about what's going on with the team, with players going on and off the COVID list, the Braden Schenn injury. Here's Doug Armstrong from a little bit earlier this afternoon.
The people that have had COVID that I've talked to haven't had many symptoms. So the positive is that the vaccine seemed to be working, and the symptoms that the players are getting are very minor. I think in today's world, it's very difficult to put a curb on it. Societies are open now. Our players are doing the best they can do. But I think it's just the reality of today's world that if you test every 3 days, you're going to catch people, and asymptomatic people are going to get caught in the web.
Doug, what's the situation here with Braden Schenn and what's his situation here?
He got injured a couple of games ago in Chicago. He came back and tried to play. The injury got aggravated yesterday, so we decided to fly him home. He's going to see our doctors over the next couple of days, and we'll reevaluate everything and have an update when the team returns from the road trip.
Doug, the decision to call up Rosen or instead of Perunovic, what went into that?
Yeah, that's cap related. The NHL, a COVID injury is basically viewed like a sprained ankle or any other injury. It's there's no cap relief, and so we have, with Krug, Krug, Husso, Clifford, there's no salary relief, so it. It's a cap reason why, or one of the reasons is that Scott can't be here is because of his contract. The bonuses in his contract are so high that when you start the season in LTI, not only the face value of the contract goes against the recall. It's all potential bonuses. So. When you're creating these contracts, that everyone's aware that it does have ramifications on recalls, and this is one of the negative ramifications of having excessive bonuses in your contracts.
Doug, Ryan O'Reilly's situation, do you expect him, is he back with the team in Anaheim?
Yes, he is back, and his quarantining period is over, and he's with the team now, and skated today, I believe, and I think he'll be ready to play on Sunday, which is certainly a real positive with Schenner going out. And I thought the guys did a yeoman's job. I thought Robert Thomas had a fantastic game last night, which was great to see. Sometimes opportunity is created by different ways. And it was great to see a guy like Robbie take full advantage of that. I thought Tyler Bozak's best game was last night too. So our depth is being tested, but the guys are rewarding their teammates with really solid play.
You said the you talk about the depth being tested. It's kind of the roster being tested. You're many more guys going COVID. You're going to start running out of salary cap space. But you pretty much already have, haven't you?
Yeah, no, we are out of salary cap space. You know, right now we have 21 players. We're very close to having playing short because of these COVID situations. That if we sustain any injuries, we're going to have to play short for the guidelines the way they're set now.
You've seen other teams that just have had five guys go on all at once, but yours seem to happen like 3 or 4 days apart. Is there anything that suggests about what's happening?
Again, I'm not an expert, obviously, in that field. I just think that this is just my opinion. When you test every couple of days and you have people traveling across North America, I don't see how this is not going to happen. I mean, I'm not an expert. My understanding was that the vaccine was put into play to protect you more from having adverse effects to severe reactions to getting COVID and hopefully minimize the likelihood of getting it, but it was never going to make it get the vaccine and you're removed from the possibility of getting COVID. And I think it's just testing asymptomatic people. These are the negatives of doing that.
Doug, you talk about your depth being tested, obviously, now more than ever, right? Some of these guys that maybe have had limited or more limited roles are going to have to step up and grab bigger roles here, right?
You know, it's a great opportunity. Again, I'm looking at our board now. You have O'Reilly and Thomas and Barbashev and Bozak down the middle. It gives them a great opportunity to play there. You're obviously, like up front, there's no Chiefs out of options. So the guys that are there are all going to play. And I think it's nice to have experienced players like Neil in our group. But it's also great to see players like Costin and Neighbors and Kyrou. Like Costin, Neighbors get their feet wet in a meaningful way. Plus guys like Kyrou and Thomas being asked to take a leadership, like a lead role, you know, not a sub, not that they were support role players, but they always had players with more experience ahead of them. That's now starting to wane. And I thought Robert Thomas did a great job last night, as did Kyrou.
Great stuff from Doug Armstrong. Appreciate the information. And obviously the Blues take on the Ducks in Anaheim on Sunday night. All right, we'll come back and wrap up this hour next up here on KMOX. All right, just a few minutes left in this hour. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk some college football. Happy to have Howard Richards with us starting at 7:15. Obviously, Howard will be calling the Mizzou game tomorrow between the Tigers and the Bulldogs. It's gonna be a tough one, man. I mean, you don't see very many point spreads in the 39.5 range with two SEC opponents. But obviously, Georgia's extremely good. They're at home. Obviously, Mizzou has had some problems defensively. So we'll get Howard's take on the game. I'm also going to ask him just a little bit about his former coach, Warren Powers, who passed away this week. It'd be a great way to, you know, honor Coach Powers, just to hear from one of his players that, you know, knew him not just as a coach, but knew him for years after the fact as well. So looking forward to talking to Howard Richards. It's always a good day when we get to talk some football and just talk in general. I love having Howard on the show. I'm glad we can do that coming up for you in just a little bit. One other quick thing, and I didn't get to this yet, but I may carry this over and have a little bit of baseball for you to start next hour, but the Reds made a move today that angered their fan base quite a bit. They placed Wade Miley, the left-hander, on waivers today, and he was claimed by the Chicago Cubs. Now, why that's interesting is the Reds had a $10 million option for him for 2022. Now, keep in mind, in 2021, he just went 12-7 with a 3.37 ERA and threw 163 innings. So $10 million for that kind of performance for 15 quality starts, 28 starts overall, that's not in any way an overpayment. And it's an interesting thing, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because obviously the Cardinals made a similar decision last year when they decided not to pick up the option on Colton Wong and go with Tommy Edman instead. And what's interesting about this is, with the Reds side of things, because this is coupled with a couple of other things, it sounds like the Reds may be pulling back a little bit. They traded Tucker Barnhart. They were going to decline his option again because it was $7 million, and they're going to save the money. They don't have Castellanos anymore, although they did give him the qualifying offer, but I mean, he's going to get an offer that will keep him from having to accept that. So the Reds are in an interesting position this offseason, and you know, because it's not just like it was with the Cardinals where it's one player that you do have an in-house replacement lined up for. You had Tommy Edman lined up with the Cardinals to play second base. The Reds, you know, you got Castellanos. That's a free agent right now, and I mentioned they don't have Barnhart anymore. They don't have Miley anymore. And the crazy thing is, you know, when you look at their team, they have some holes to fill. Right? I mean, you know, they didn't exactly have a strong finish, and maybe that's why they just decided, all right, we can't fix all these holes. We tried. We made a run. You know, we went and got Castellanos. We went and signed Moustakas, and it didn't work. So now we're gonna kind of reboot, and we'll see how it plays out. But the reason I bring it up is, you could be facing a division where you've got three teams that aren't really trying to win it. It could be two, and that gives you a much better chance of stacking up some wins. Talk more baseball to start off next hour here on KMOX.